Rupture avec Ziad Naoufal sur 96.2 FM.
I made a mistake, thinking that I knew. All alone I wait for a distant rendezvous. Deception is a bait, with eyes that pull you through. She fake it till she breaks my heart on a distant rendezvous. On a distant rendezvous. On a distant rendezvous. On a distant rendezvous.
It's a pleasure to welcome Lebanese alternative rock band Who Killed Bruce Lee in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight. These boys have already been here a few months ago, and they're back for something altogether more thrilling, altogether more exciting, the release of their first album, Distant Rendezvous. We just heard the lead track from this album. The album will be released this Thursday at a concert that will take place in Grand Factory Karantina. We have the four members of the band, Pascal Sarkis, from left to right, Pascal Sarkis, Wassim Boumalham, Malik Rizala and Hasib Darham in the studios of Radio Lebanon tonight. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I see all our microphones are functioning, which is nothing short of a miracle around here.
Great.
Lovely to have you here. Last time Who Killed Bruce Lee was in the studios of Radio Lebanon, you played a few songs live off your first EP. You also played a new song called Room for Three that would appear eventually on a compilation, and then your long and arduous road to Distant Rendezvous started. So we're here tonight to talk about this, about the making of this album that took place between Lebanon and Germany and many other cities in the meantime. You're coming back from a long tour of Europe, from a series of concerts that that have seen you play in different stages around the world. So where do we start? What happened after the release of your first EP and the creation of Room for Three? Let's take it from the top. Wassim.
What happened, like, in a bad way? What happened, like, factually?
What happened factually?
مش إنه ليه صار فيكم هيك يا شباب.
No, and I'm...
What happened to you boys? Why the slow slope downwards? No, I think...
I don't mean it in the biblical sense. I mean it only in the musical sense.
Super. I think everybody that helped us here and everything we managed to do in Beirut, whether with Fadi Tabbal and with a lot of the platforms that we worked with, I think at some point the band felt that if we want to pursue this any further, we're going to have to really take a chance on it and take a real... risk and figure out a way to export our music. And I think it was in the back of our mind, but we never actually pursued it head on. It was always in the back of our mind. One opportunity led to another, and suddenly we saw ourselves meeting with some German industry professionals that flew over here, and we sat with them several times, and they were trying to convince us that we should move to Germany because it's like the third biggest music market in the world, and we didn't know at that time, because I think what we get here is more of an American UK vibe, not so much a German vibe in the Middle East. And a lot of that was an eye-opening experience. And 7-8 months later, after we worked so hard on our papers and a lot of other things, we left everything here. We put everything on pause, and we moved. We shipped our life to Berlin at that moment.
You basically prepared your paperwork for 7 or 8 months while working on the music for the album, and then you completely moved to Germany, the four of you?
Yes. And
that is a massive change of...
Yeah,
everything.
Technically, and the most important thing at that point was the trust that we had in the characters we were meeting, like David Gappa, that was also the producer of Soundclash, and that's how we know him, and Deville Schrober, which was the head of the company that manages us now. So the trust we had in them, and the big opportunity of recording with a producer called Victor Van Vogt, that we met through Jade and Riverside Studios in Berlin. Victor was the producer, is still obviously sometimes producing the bands such as Depeche Mode and Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. So for us, it was thrilling just to have a Skype call with him. And after a Skype call, it developed, and I guess he liked our energy and our vibe. And we flew to Berlin and sat with him in a dungeon underground for like 1 month. We didn't see the light Saturday, Sunday, nothing. We didn't see Berlin, actually, for 1 month. We came into the city, went directly into the studio, and saw nothing of Berlin for the first month. We were just working all day, all night, all weekend. And you could see by how much he put his heart and soul into it, because at the beginning he was a bit skeptical, because for him, he comes from Australia, he lives in Berlin, he's produced the biggest band in the world, and he's a small Grammy Award winner, and he was like, why should I spend so much time in producing a band from Lebanon? You know, what are these guys about? So at the beginning, I guess everybody here remembers the first Skype call where he said, come to Berlin, I'll chill with you for 2-3 days. If I like you, I produce you. If I don't, I won't. So we're like, hey, listen, dude, we're leaving our jobs, our cars, our girlfriends, everything, you know. We're coming for a real shot, so we can't, after 3 days, be like, ah, ma mish alhal, yalla, umdub ghradna rja Beirut. So then we continued to another Skype call. We shared references, and I guess at that point he felt that, oh shit, this band is serious, their demos are serious, I would love to produce you, please come over.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned leaving your car before leaving your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Distant Rendezvous was the first track we listened to tonight, and we're going to listen to a second excerpt from the album. Are all of these songs the result of your work in Germany, or were some of these rough sketches already developed here in Beirut?
They were all developed in Beirut.
Malik, drummer with Who Killed Bruce Lee.
Hello.
So all of these songs were first drawn up here?
Yeah, we went to Berlin with around 15 songs, and then it shrank to 11. So the ideas were there. If you want those 11 songs or 15 or whatever, it's basically the 4 years, 5 years of original writing. Like we write so many songs and then we throw them and then we take them back and then we recycle, and it's actually, that's the way we kind of write. Sometimes we do this collage of things and then we manarir in, like, do we like it? Do we not? After 2 months, we can change our minds. So definitely our next project is going to be different, because we can't afford 4 or 5 years to write a next album.
Well, it is your first album of your own original compositions after spending a lot of time in Beirut doing covers, etc. So I think it's kind of normal that it would take time to develop, but now it's out. It's like you've delivered a baby into the world.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So let's listen to a second track right now, and we'll come back to the making of the album in a few minutes.
Where the fuck can you be? My favorite worst enemy. My enemy at the line, looking for a real good time to shut me out, shut me in. Show me how do we begin. Help me just to know and advise me where to go when I need it. Help me just to know that Beirut is the place to go. We'll be right back.
This is a track chosen for us by Wasim Boumalham, singer and guitar player with Hukil de Bruce Lee, who are the guests of Ruptures on Radio Lebanon tonight. They will be playing a concert, a launch concert, for their album Distant Rendezvous this Thursday, 19th of May, at Grand Factory in Carantina. Wasim, why did you choose this song for us? Tell us a bit about it.
I think simply 47 Soul for me in the past year have been my Fairuz, if you like, so to speak. They're the band I personally go to whenever I want to feel home in any way, shape or form, because we've been heavily and hectically on the road for the past 8 months or so. And anytime I play a track from 47 Soul, the entire band gets into this mood of like deserty Arabia. خلاص, no, there's no control when this music hits. Mm-hmm. And even the Germans around us go like, what is that? You know, what are you doing? Why are you moving in that weird way? And what is that? So they're my Fairuz personally. And they are an incredibly talented four guys. And their EP was just out a while ago. We bought a few vinyls from Jordan, where they were selling them. And I have a feeling that they'll go very, very, very far. And they're transporting their music in the best way possible.
Are they Jordanian?
They're Jordanian, Palestinian, Golan Heights. One of them is from the Golan Heights. And yeah, and even American. So there are a lot of different passports in that band. But mainly it's the feel of Bilad al-Sham and the Buzo and a lot of, if you want, the what they like to call wedding music, but in a very contemporary, new way of serving it. And it's for me, it's mesmerizing. It's insane.
Going back to the move to Germany. How did you go about from Lebanon and the tumult that is Beirut and being able to function in a new city and in a new environment such as Berlin? Did you immediately go into the studio with Victor Van Voet, or was there a transitional period in which you had to adapt to life there?
it all
Hasib, keyboard player and backing vocalist and graphic designer with Who Killed Bruce Lee?
And belly dancer.
Hey Ziad, اشتقت لك. On a personal and musical level, it took a while for us to get accustomed to the idea that we're actually going there. But once we were there, we barely had 24 hours to get into the mood for work. We hired an apartment for 1 month in Berlin for the totality of the duration of the recording, and we were there maybe one or half a day before that. So we went directly into working mode. First couple of days of rehearsals were very important, because that's when we felt that Victor's energy would be super in sync with the band. It only took a few hours for him to become totally invisible, like he was a fifth member, and he instantly understood our sense of humor, even below the belt. You know, it was really quick. He fed بالجو يعني, didn't he? And he never said no, or he never suggested any melody or anything or any piece of music. He never imposed anything. It just came very naturally in his smart, genius way of suggesting stuff, you know. So he kind of understood it very quickly. The tagline that he used to say all the time, even when it was really bad. I'm not going to say the word. He said, I think it's great, all the time. It was always great, always. So always positive and always making us think that they're pushing us to do the best that we can out of our writing and what we had presented to him.
Did the recording entirely take place in Riverside Studios, in which is a studio in Berlin, right?
Yeah, we use, actually there's one bit of the new pool party that we recorded that was recorded originally at Fadi Studio and TuneFork Studios. All the rest of the music and vocals and overdubs, everything was done in Berlin.
You've also, you redid Pool Party for this album, correct?
Yeah.
And Room for Three as well, because mm-hmm. there's slightly different versions that have appeared before.
Yes.
How about yourself, Hasib? What did you choose for us tonight?
I have, remind me which song to start with? I have a terrible short-term memory.
K.I.Z.?
K.I.Z. is a song that I discovered while in Germany. I'm in love with hip-hop in general. And this one, actually, I like it because it features a singer from another band called Annemai Kantereit, and he has a very interesting voice, even though the music is a bit monotone sometimes. But I think it's cool to maybe try it and play it on your blessed radio.
Verbrannte McDonalds Zeugen von unseren Heldentaten, seit wir Nestle von den Feldern jagten. Schmecken Äpfel so wie Äpfel und Tomaten nach Tomaten, und wir kochen unser Essen in den Helmen der Soldaten. Du willst einen rauchen, dann geh dir was pflücken im Garten, doch unser heutiges Leben lässt sich auch nüchtern ertragen. Komm, wir fahren in den moosbedeckten Hallen im Reichstag, ein Bürostuhl wettrennen. Unsere Haustüren müssen keine Schlösser mehr haben. Geld wurde zu Konfetti und wir haben besser geschlafen. Ein Goldbarren ist für uns das gleiche wie ein Ziegelstein. Der Kamin geht aus, ruft mal noch eine Bibel rein. Die Kids gruseln sich, denn ich erzähle vom Papst. Dieses Leben ist so schön. Er braucht dein Leben danach.
Er braucht dein Leben danach. Er braucht dein Leben danach.
Und wir singen im Atomschutzbunker. Hurra, diese Welt geht unter. Hurra, diese Welt geht unter. Hurra, diese Welt geht unter. Und wir singen im Atomschutzbunker. Hurra, diese Welt geht unter. Hurra, diese Welt geht unter. Auf den Trümmern das Paradies.
Die Kühe weiden hinter uns, wir rauchen Ott, spielen Tauler.
Did the 11 songs that made it on the album, on the final version of the album, undergo a certain process of transformation because of the fact that you were in Germany and rubbing off with German culture, meeting German people, hearing German music, etc., and working with an Australian producer? Or were the songs that we hear on the album today, on the vinyl and the CD, as you thought they would appear when you left here?
Something very
Wasim Boumelham.
Yes. Something very, very interesting to mention is that all of our lives, maybe it's a trick that we're revealing, but maybe it's not, I don't know. all of our lives we've recorded separately, you know.
What do you mean by separately?
Okay, what I mean is there's always a click in recordings, you know, so that everything is in tempo, exactly what Hasib is predominantly doing. Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Es.
That's enough. 112?
Yeah. No, perfect.
It's faster.
So we always used to record separately. And so it was a bit mathematical. And maybe every time somebody would see us live, they would say that when we see you live, we feel something much different, like very different than when we listen to your CD or when we listen to you on online. And I don't know how miraculously our producer, Victor, managed to see that, because he called for a week of rehearsals right before we start recording. And when we got there and we started rehearsing in Riverside, he had these sets of notes on each and every track. And we were thinking, like, this guy is so huge. And everybody told us, you know, when you start with a very huge doctor, and then you end up with the intern at the end. So everybody was telling us the same thing. You know, hey, Victor, he's so huge. He's probably going to send his minions to record your album, and he'll just come in every once in a while. Which wasn't true at all. We got in there, and he started removing sets of papers with so many different notes on each track. And he wanted us to play and play and play. And he discovered, I think, after the first week, that we are a live band. We were born to play live music. And he said that it's going to be my job to capture that about you. And he had one word for the album. He said the album has to groove from the beginning to the end. You know, it has to groove. The rock has to groove. The dance has to, everything has to groove. So you're going to have to record it together. And that was really intense. So, you know, imagine recording it, the four of us together, or three at least. And at the end, one of us just getting out of tempo a bit, we would have to repeat it all over again. And even with the vocals, you know, he told me that you have to deliver one feeling throughout the entire track. What we used to do before is that we used to record verse one, get satisfied with it, then go into chorus one, then go into chorus two. So he didn't accept that. He told me that you have to deliver the same feeling vocally from beginning to end. So every time you do a small mistake towards the end, even after 4 minutes, you have to redo it again. From the top, not from the chorus or chorus two, from the top. So I think the guys listened to maybe 30 different vocal takes on each of the tracks until we got to a place where everybody was satisfied with what we had. So he managed to take what was very important about our band, which is the chemistry of the four of us together when we play, and managed to convince us that that's the best way to record. And that was, I think, his trick for us for the album. So,
which is also the mark of a great producer, knowing what to capture and in which band.
Sure, sure. He didn't come in predominantly with his ideas and said, hey, boys, sit down, listen, this is the way it's going to go. He just told us, play, and I want to watch you. And he watched us for a week. He observed for a week, you know. And after a week, he came out with, listen, this is the word for the album, and I think this is the way we should record it. And we all agreed with him directly, because we thought that he's been living with us for the last 5 years.
I love the word that you used, observed. It's like when you're watching National Geographic. Watching the captivating Arab in his rock and roll environment. behind the tree, you know. Zoom in.
We had a small taste of the songs from this album when you played at Beirut Wave 2 a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that this is a very different kind of celebration this Thursday. You're going to play the album in its entirety, I guess. Right, Malik?
Mm-hmm. Actually, when Wasim was explaining this 30, when he would repeat like his vocals, vocal takes after 30, you know, we tend to think that the first take is going to be the best, and then it goes down and down. It does. It goes down, down, down. But then at the 15th or 16th, something comes back, you know. It's like Wasim he stops. It's a moment where you unthink, and it's just like this animal side of you that is singing, and that's what happened with us even live. After 40 gigs of playing almost every day, there's a moment where you unthink, and this is what I hope we're gonna be able to show No pressure, and the band. No pressure.
Yeah, thanks, Malik. I'm sorry. I'll call you later.
I'm leaving.
I have elections in the mountain. I have to go. I'm sorry.
This is what we hope we're going to give to the Lebanese.
You basically finished recording after 1 month with Victor Van Voet and you immediately took to the road. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we did like a small tour before Christmas. Before coming back to Christmas. We did like 12, 10, 11, 10, 10 cities. Yeah. And the last tour was from February until last week.
Yeah.
And it was around 40 concerts.
This is the one that Wasim and Malik were referring to.
Yeah.
Yes.
And after Beirut, you will be touring some more, or are you taking a break now?
No, absolutely not.
Beginning of June, we're back on the road, this time festivals, between Denmark, Romania, Switzerland.
Austria.
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to those full details in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Malik, let's hear one of your choices. This is a band called Les Bengala. Tell us a bit about them.
Los Bengala. We were in the middle of the process. We were like playing. We were in Berlin, completely. We like Wasim said. We would never go out. Saturday, Sundays, we would be still in the studio. So once Menhabi, we're like completely cranky, and we're like, let's go out. So we Google like places, just venues, nice rock and roll venues, and we end up in this place, super dodgy. Don't ask me what's the name of the place. I don't really remember.
I think I can remember.
What was it?
Basie?
Basie.
Yeah,
Basie.
True. Yeah. In Mitte.
Like Count Basie?
Yeah. Nah,
whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
So there's this.
We just glimpsed the evasive voice of Pascal Serkis, bass player Who Killed the Bruce Lee.
Thanks.
We need to take a moment.
Evasive.
So there's this band, it's just a two-piece band, a drummer that looks like a 12-year-old boy, you know, on speed with the curly hair, and another 16-year-old guy on guitar. Super, like they're purely Spanish. They look Spanish. You feel the Madrid. Like I don't know, maybe they're not from Madrid.
Don't forget the tiger outfit.
The tiger outfit, exactly.
No.
The tiger outfit. Anyways, these guys are playing. They're not teenagers. They're probably in their mid-20s. So they play, and we're directly immersed. And then this song is "60 y Cinco Días," 65 days. So. This song, the drummer sings it. And it was just the perfect timing. It was just the perfect moment. You know, like sometimes when you watch a concert and like time stops and you have this heavy guitar sound, you're going to listen to it now and understand. So I chose this song because it reminds me of Berlin. It reminds me of like the band being so into this dungeon, and then we went out and then we saw this band. We didn't understand anything. We're like, what the fuck? Amazing.
What's that?
Atashni.
Yeah.
Kill the Bruce Lee has taken such a massive turn in the last few months that we tend to forget that two of the band members are actually reggae musicians as well. Mm-hmm. Both Pascal and Hassi play with Jamit the band.
Exactly.
And I think this is one of Pascal's choices tonight. The band is Alpha Blondie and the track is Politiki.
That's true.
So thank you for reminding that for reminding us that you guys have also other activities on the side. Is Jamit the band on hold for now, or are you guys working on a new album?
I guess on
Pascal.
Hold. Yeah. I guess on hold. Yeah. I don't have any news about it. No.
You've released a beautiful 5-track EP a few months ago.
That's true.
And speaking of releases, is your album presently available in town? The Who Killed the Bruce Lee LP and CD.
Yeah, you can get it in a downtown shop called Le 66.
In downtown Beirut,
it's
you mean?
It's like Distant okay. Rendezvous. It's French and English, Le 66, you know, so it sticks to the concept.
To the band approach. To
maybe
life.
We should maybe I'm we should take this opportunity, if I may be allowed to ask,
yeah.
to discuss a bit the concept behind the album, the concept behind the beautiful graphics and visuals of the album.
Of Hassib, course.
You're the graphic designer of all things Who Killed the Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And maybe you can tell us a few things about how you came up with this beautiful concept of an album
mm-hmm.
that is available both as a CD and vinyl presently. Will it also be present at the concert?
Yes, it will be available with a panoply of.
We sneaked them in from the airport.
Don't tell anyone.
Well, don't tell anyone. We won't tell anyone.
Because the we're not gonna go into the details.
It's fine.
Usually the
I did the same with mine. Yeah.
Yeah. The way the design goes is either I propose something and the guys piss on it and then I change it, or the guys come up with something collectively and then I am the executing hand of the design. And, so in this case,
and you don't piss on it.
No. It depends, actually.
We piss on it collectively.
Yes.
Like, if that makes any sense.
Everything takes place collectively.
It's a very heterosexual, non-sexual game.
Yeah, I think so. But to be very, 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 very fair, we have to mention the Arab Image Foundation.
Yeah, they gave us, actually, the front and back cover images. regardless now of the design choices, the typography, the colors that we chose, they gave us the like a very big honor, two photos for our front and back covers that kind of illustrates that that whole feeling of the Beirut that we lost, that we might see again, that we might never see, this distant rendezvous that we talk about.
So they're archival images?
Yeah, they're in the archives.
I think from, I don't really recall the name, but from an Armenian photographer that took them during the 50s in Lebanon, when Lebanon was known as the Switzerland of the Middle East, around that time. One was taken in downtown, and the second, I think, in a boarding school with the four guys that looked like Who Killed Bruce Lee in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
With hair. Nice set of hair.
No beard.
At first, before I had spoken about it with Hasib, I wondered if they were your folks, I mean, one of your folks.
Yeah, actually, there are friends and families of the band inside the booklet of the CD.
All right.
So, yeah, we have some little things here and there.
And why the predominant yellow tone, Hasib?
You know, it's a very high budget to do gold, so we went for yellow. And I don't know why, at some point there was this general consensus that yellow would be the color of the band somehow, yellow on black, or this kind of color theme. I think it fits with the whole Bruce Lee, Tarantino suit, pyjama. The whole thing is kind of says yellow.
Yeah, it's absurd.
So we're trying to escape it for a while. Maybe the next album will be another color.
One color.
Let's listen to a second excerpt from the album.
All right.
Mastercraft, shall we go with that one?
Oh. Yeah, sure.
And talk about it just after?
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Was Armstrong a toddler as a child?
Typically, how does a Who Killed the Bruce Lee song get written? In the case of Mastercraft, for example, does Wasim come up with the lyrics, play it on his guitar, and then you add layers? Or how does a typical Who Killed the Bruce Lee song get created?
There's a guy in India called Panjib. That we give him, I think, $5 or $6 an hour.
Oh, that's so true! So true.
It's a dirty secret that we don't want to, you know,
divulge.
But since we're here and we missed Beirut, it's been such a long time, we thought we'd just be honest and out with it and enough with the bull, you know.
So no, this song in particular was
not Panjib.
Was a set of lyrics I think from the corporate days, you know, like I personally, everybody here has had his beef with the corporate world and the industry. And I had this set of lyrics, and then Malik had his 5 minutes during during rehearsal. He always has 1 5-minute during rehearsal where he utters something completely complete nonsense that turns out to be complete genius, you know? And he has that ability to be a genetically modified genius that, you know, not a lot of people understand, but we totally understand that. And he just said some stuff when he was playing this super groove on Mastercraft. And we were like, okay, that's it, done. And we went with it. And the lyrics were there. It just, you know, it happened during pool party as well, you know. And when we finished the song, we're like, this can't be serious.
Yeah.
And then we just roll with it, I think. But the groove is always established with Malik and Paco, you know, and I think it's always a very healthy place for Haseeb and I to start mingling around on top of it. But they love playing together, which makes...
they being Malik.
Malik and Haseeb, Malik. The rhythm section. Malik and Paco.
Paco.
Yeah, we like to call him Haseeb sometimes. But but the thing is, like, they always, when we always go to the room, they always start to groove and groove and groove and groove. And we always try to top them with our melodies and be like, let's create something interesting. Sometimes we come out with something great. Sometimes we just jam for like 2 hours with nothing.
And get very, very hungry. And yeah,
very true.
Very interesting stuff.
What's happening on Thursday? Is there an opening band? Is there an opening DJ? What time are you going on stage so our audience knows?
Thursday, a very talented producer called Etienne, Samir Shami, he's going to be playing before us. He's a really, really talented producer, and he's brought a band together as well now, and he's creating his live setup. And this is a chance for him to really showcase his work, because he's going to have, I think, a good audience that is used to like really heavy rock and roll and heavy concerts when they come to Who Killed Bruce Lee concerts. So he has it's a super cool platform for him to showcase this for the first time, and we're excited. And in terms of DJs, one of the oldest friends of the band, which being Jade, Jad Said, he's going to be closing. He's going to be closing the concert with a DJ set that is enormous.
Oui, ça va être la bombe, mec.
So we say around 10 p.m.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. 10 p.m. at Grand Factory in.
But maybe
Tarantino.
9 if.
If
maybe
you
want to
catch the opening band.
Yeah, exactly.
We still have time for one song. So it can be either Wasim's solo project, it can be another Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
So it's really up to you guys. Tell me what you want to do, and I'll play it.
Of course, 45 Hustlers.
Yeah, and a song from our new album.
لا.
Sure.
أنا كتير قلت of course وهيك محيط كل شيء.
Of course.
Give us 10 minutes to vote. Yeah, just.
We have 5 minutes to.
Yeah, take your time.
45 Hustlers.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Why this song in particular?
We don't play it live because we're not ready.
Yet.
Yet. So let's just play
it. I love how candid you are about this. Okay.
Yeah.
We a track from the album to finish off this program.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly.
Thank you, Who Killed the Bruce Lee.
Thank you, Abu Ziz.
And thank you to the two lovely ladies who accompanied you and took
hello.
Nice photos, we hope.
Mm. Yeah.
So here's 45 Hustlers. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you and hearing you on stage at Grand Factory this Thursday, starting 9 p.m.
Thank you, Ziad.
through my door for one beating heart. Could take no more love. Loosen up the rudders on the floor. If you need what I got, just ask me for it. I don't know what you need to cover the bleeding of the broken hearted. Now sit down, I'll take you to your knees. And you talk, and you talk, and you talk, and you talk shit. Talk, can you talk, can you talk shit?